I like to tell people money isn't everything, but money absolutely touches everything. It touches every aspect of our lives. Everything is at risk if your finances aren't together. And so for the sake of everything that matters to you, it's really important to get a handle on your finances.
You're listening to the Active Duty Passive Income Podcast, the number one resource for active duty veterans and their families who want to learn how to build real wealth through real estate investing. Each week, we sit down with top military real estate investors, industry experts, and leaders who share their secrets to success in the real estate game. Now, get off your ass, get motivated, and take action to make your financial freedom dreams a reality.
Before we get started with today's show, I have to let my faithful ADPI podcast family in on a little secret. For the past year, we've been hard at work trying to consolidate all of our epic resources into one community-based platform to damn near guarantee our member success. I'm proud to announce the launch of ADPI Campus, our off-Facebook, all-in-one platform dedicated to helping the military community own more of the land they swore to protect and defend. From networking to live workshops to courses, masterminds, cohorts, and even one-on-one coaching, ADPI Campus is the community for military real estate investors worldwide. Sign up for your free trial of ADPI Campus at www.adpicampus.com, where you'll get complete access to our brand new bootcamp mini course and our exclusive deal room where you can list, connect, buy, and sell deals alongside other military real estate investors. That's www.adpicampus.com to sign up now for free. Do it now before it's too late. Now, let's start the show. Hey, ADPI Nation, Kevin here, host of the Active Duty Passive Income Podcast. You know my voice. You've been listening for a long time now, hopefully. If you're new, that's cool too. If you've been around, then you probably know what this show is about. But as usual, we bring on an epic guest every single week to break down a different aspect of how to get to financial freedom and really how to win in real estate and really how to really hone and become the military real estate investor that you are or you've always wanted to be. Today's guest is a little bit different because you've heard us talk about, you know, how to grow investments. And I've talked about short-term rentals and long-term rentals and multifamily and wholesaling and blah, 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 all that stuff. But before you can get into any of that, I think it's important that we consider cleaning the slate, right? Like everyone wants to jump into the next greatest investment opportunity. But if you don't have any money or you're actively bleeding cash month after month, you're probably not in the best position to do that. So how do you overcome that? And I think it's something that is commonly overlooked. And that's why we brought on today's guest, Frank Molinar. And Frank, this, you know, he is an author, and I feel honored to interview him simply because last week the Wall Street Journal interviewed him, and I told Frank, I said, Frank, I'm not the Wall Street Journal, but I'm pretty close. So, Frank, thanks for coming on the show, man. We're going to be talking about so listeners, guys, if you're listening to this and you want a quick cliff notes, we're going to be talking about how to get your financial house in order. So if you're in that position, you want to jump into real estate, but you just don't know, you know, where to start, and you know you might have some personal debt and everything, and you want to consolidate that, and you want to talk about how to clean up and tighten up that budget, then this is the episode for you, right? And if you have friends who might need to hear this, all you got to do is screenshot their phone right now and text it to them. Boom, text them that. It'll click right up, and they can listen to Frank drop some epic gems. But without further ado, Frank, thanks for joining us on the show. Please, if you take a moment to introduce yourself.
Thanks, Kevin. It's a pleasure to be here. As you said, I'm Frank Molinar. I'm a certified financial planner, a little over, well, I even hate to admit it, but it's over three decades in practice. But for the last 10 or 12 years, I've been working not exclusively, but significantly within the military veteran communities. There was a few years back, I was under contract with the Department of Defense to provide training and counseling and finances to the service members. And when I started that, I just had the time of my life. I mean, I wasn't pitching anything. I wasn't trying to sell anybody anything. I was just trying to talk to them. And I saw, wow, there's so much potential here. There's so much opportunity. And I think my being an outsider was actually helpful in order to be able to call that out for these guys and gals that I ended up spending time with. Before writing the book, I've logged over 4,000 hours of one-on-one consultations with service members, veterans, and their families. and developed this whole battle plan in the book that we're just publishing. It's called Financial Dominance, the Military Veteran Edition, Your Battle Plan for a Richer Life.
That's incredible. And everything that, you know, is in the title of that book is something that we here at Active Duty Passive Income and our listeners and you know, the community, which is now 40,000 strong, all
wow.
support, because we're all in it to promote that financial independence, that financial well-being, whether you want to leave the military and go and do it full-time, or whether you want to continue to serve and build some passive income on the side so that when your 20 years is up, you got your pension, you got some passive income from your real estate or other investments, and, you know, you can own a slice of America that you've put your life on the line to defend. And I think that's really important. So I salute you, my friend, for working specifically, like you said, with veterans and active duty service members, because we're in a unique position. And, you know, I think just, you know, when we talk about finances, it's obviously taboo to talk about finances, whether you're in the military or not in the military. But I'm just curious, from your perspective, when you were having these consultations with service members, what were some of the common, like, you know, common things that always seem to pop up with service members with regards to kind of cleaning the slate?
So this one answer could take the whole time we're scheduled together. We could spend a lot of time.
We'll break it down one chunk at a time.
Well, yeah, we'll take it a little bit of time. I was amazed, first off, when I came in and I got a grasp of the benefits and the structure and the opportunities. I saw opportunity everywhere. I saw so much potential. I saw so many different things that a service member could do to build themselves a great life. And most of them weren't doing it. And instead, they were doing very poorly with their money. You know some of the stats. I'm sure you've heard them.
Oh, yeah.
Service members have something like a 30% higher rate of divorce than civilians. So instead of a 50% divorce rate, it's like 80. But you also have a higher rate of suicide.
Absolutely.
That's really significant. And I can't tell you how many times in counseling service members, there's tears breaking down. There's all kinds of stuff that's being unloaded as they try and get this. Because I like to tell people, money isn't everything. But money absolutely touches everything. It touches every aspect of our lives. And if your finances are in a wreck, your marriage or your partnership is in a wreck. Your productivity at work is in a wreck. Your MOS is at risk. Everything is at risk if your finances aren't together. And so for the sake of everything that matters to you, it's really important to get a handle on your finances. It's amazing how many people literally do the one thing I tell you in the first chapter of the book that you absolutely have to do. You have to stop the bleeding. It's amazing how many people are actually bleeding finances. How many people would go to the AER for emergency relief committee for $500 to keep the electricity on in their apartment or so they don't get their car repossessed. There was so much financial chaos going on in the ranks. I was surprised. And I dove right in. One of the things that caught my attention is that, you know, in almost every aspect of the military, you have some training that is consistent, that's uniform, that's detailed. You know, when you're going into sniper training, you learn how to be a sniper. When you're going into, and I can't even speak to the details, but you understand there's training for everything right. except for finances.
Tell me about it, man. You're yeah. preaching to the choir right now, dude. Like it.
Yeah.
It kills me, and you know, I'm recently separated from the military, but you know, it kills me. And I don't think this is a military thing. I think this is an American thing. I think we are in the consumer age, and it's very, very easy to just fall behind because money is so easy to credit. I mean, credit is so easy to come by. And,
yes.
and the way the system is set up, oh, get this credit card and get this credit card and do this and do that and do this. But if you're not tracking what is coming in and most importantly, what is going out and where it's going, then you are liable to just fall behind like that. So
And it compounds against
totally,
you.
Totally. It's like a wall that is constantly being built up in front of you, obstructing your path to potential financial freedom. It's just brick by brick by brick, getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And the sad part is we're on the one side of the wall building it. You know, we're laying the damn bricks. So when exactly. You talk about stop the bleeding, what is it? What do you do? Like, what's the first step?
So working with a lot of different medics or guys with medic training, gals with medic training, I asked them the same thing. I said, so when you're downrange or in a hostile zone, what have you, somebody gets hit or injured, what do you do? How do you stop the bleeding? And they, you know, went on to explain what the steps they were. And it culled down into three different steps that I thought were just fantastic and perfect parallels to explain how to stop the financial bleeding. The first step is the medic has to examine the patient, right? So you're calling for help, medic, please. And then the doc drops to his knees and he's got to look you over. Because if he doesn't take the time to look you over, he could miss something. Mm-hmm. And when we're talking about bleeding, missing something isn't a good idea.
Right.
My own son experienced that. He was in Syria in a crazy story. He was working as a freedom fighter with the Kurdish militia. So he wasn't even attached to the U.S. military anymore. He was in that scenario. They caught an engagement in Manbij, and unfortunately, he got shot. He got shot twice, once through his cheek and out his neck, and the other one on the opposite side went into his hip. So it was 4 hours before they got him to the hospital. And all this time, the field medics were just doing their best to deal with the bleeding on his coming out of his mouth because of the bullet that went through there. They completely missed the other wound in the hip. Fortunately, it was non-threatening, non-life-threatening wound. But had it been differently, the game could be over. And it was almost over. And it was, you know, a tragic thing. But that's an extreme case. But the whole point is you've got to do an exam on the patient so you know where to apply the treatment. And then you apply the treatment, whether that's a hemostat and the plastic sheeting or a tourniquet or, you know, back in the old days of the Civil War, a saw and you're cutting off the limb.
Yeah, hopefully we're not doing that.
But whatever it takes, you've got to do something to arrest the bleeding so that you have the chance of recovering and getting better. And that's the third step. When a medic has a conscious patient and he's already done the treatment to them, they want to give them a hope, some reassurance that they can beat this thing, that they can do better. So those parallels are perfect because I can absolutely promise you, every service member out there who's struggling with their finances, you can do better. And you can do better than you've ever imagined possible. In fact, I like to say that your financial potential is bigger than your dreams. And I love to prove that. I love to say it, but I really love to prove it. So, but the last thing I want to say, so the first thing is you do an exam on your finances. Here's the parallel how it applies to you personally. You do an exam on your finances. You take a look, write it down on paper. Don't try and do this in your head. It's a lot too complicated. Retain all of that. But write down exactly what's coming in and exactly what's going out. Not what you think is going out. Go to your bank online, pull up the statements, categorize those debit charges, and clarify exactly what's going out. It's an eye-opening exercise. I've had more than a couple of service members come into a counseling session, and they say, wow, we did that as our homework before we meet with you, and half the questions got answered.
Yeah.
We know exactly where the bleeding was. And by the way, if you're a couple, this is an exercise that's clinical. It's not a chance for you to start finger pointing and start blaming and start letting all the emotions get in. You're a physician. You're just doing a clinical exam. Just get it down on paper and then see where it goes from there. And then the third part of that is having a reason to fight back. The reason is, what do you want out of life? Just determine. You have something similar to this in some of your training. What is it that you're trying to do? Are you trying to just survive? Are you trying to just get by? Or are you ready to start building a life? Do you have a vision to make something bigger than just yourself? You serve, but not everybody serves forever, you know, unless the unfortunate happens. You're going to take the uniform off one day. What are you going to do then? That point in the future is not the time to try and figure out what you're going to do. That time is today, and to start building your life forward from there.
Yeah. No, I love that. And you know what I use personally, because my wife and I do this, it's actually, we're recording this on November 30th. So today is mint day. You know, we got a big thing in our calendar. We go and we look at our finances, and everything is tracked in Mint, from our personal finances. And guys, this is not, I'm not an affiliate for Mint. They're free. Go and use them. You know, it's just what I use, right? There's other ones too. There's You Need a Budget. There's it's a bunch of software. But the reason that I like Mint personally, and my family and I use it, is because it does, you know, it'll link to your bank accounts and you can set it up. And in the beginning, you know, it's kind of a pain. But as you use it, and we've been using it for a couple of years now, it starts to track your trends. And you could set up budgets, and it'll tell you, hey, you're getting close to this budget. And it'll also tell you, we actually looked at it for last year to say, like, because we were figuring, well, how much do we want to budget for Christmas gifts this year? You know?
And good job.
And it goes, and you type that, there's a little thing specifically for December, and you can go and look, hey, over the past two Decembers, you spent X amount of dollars on Christmas gifts. And I was like, wow, that's really helpful.
That's
because then you know, then you're not like going crazy, because it's really easy to get out of hand. But all these little data points, you can start, you know, in the beginning, like I said, you're going to have to categorize the transactions and be diligent about it, just like anything. But once it starts building trends and the AI gets a little bit smarter and it starts understanding, hey, you buy groceries and you spend this much a month on groceries, and it really, really helps. And the last day of every month, my wife and I come together and we sit down, and it takes about 30 minutes. And we talk about, hey, this is where we are. And not only this is our spending and our budget, but it will also track your net worth. So all of my businesses, all of my real estate assets, everything is in there, has a valuation and says, hey, this is where you're at. And this is where your net worth is at. And this is, it's just one tool, guys, one tool that we use. And I personally like, but it has helped me stop the bleeding and reallocate funds to things that grow, instead of things that don't. So yeah, I totally and 100% agree with you there, Frank. Super, super important to examine where your money is going, where it's coming from, and then where it's going to and what's left over. And then you got to pay yourself.
Well, so then you take a look at things and ask two questions. Are there ways that I can bring more income in to help stop the bleeding? So more blood into the system. And are there ways where I can get more efficient with the spending? I'm very careful because I don't tell people you need to cut spending. I've actually told people you need to spend more in this category so that you will spend less in this category. But you got to get more efficient with your spending. And the other thing to understand about financial bleeding, really about life, about business, about everything, the bleeding doesn't stop when you're living within your means. In fact, I say the first rule of money is you should never live within your means. If you heard that from your parents when you were leaving to go off to service or wherever, they did you a disservice, because there's always going to be something else that comes on. We're old enough now that we know that emergencies happen, and they don't happen on cue. They happen at their own pace. And usually they come in multiple attacks, three or four things at a time. So if we know this, we have to understand that bleeding doesn't stop until we learn to live beneath our means. And the real wisdom is learning how to live well, how to enjoy your life, how to set things up to enjoy all the opportunities you have and still be below your means. In business, we call that making a profit. In real estate, you call it making a profit. If you're not profitable, you don't sustain, you don't continue, you don't grow, you're out of business soon. And yet in our finances, in our household finances, so many people live right on the edge. They're just one disaster away from bankruptcy, from everything falling apart, from jeopardizing their security clearance, which could lose their job and lose their whole livelihood. Everything falls apart. But all of that changes when we learn to live well beneath our means. It's the beginning of all financial wisdom.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. Absolutely right, Frank. So in your book, you know, you talk about stop the bleeding. And then once you have that done and you're no longer, you know, financially bleeding, then you kind of go into something that you call securing the perimeter. So, you know, for everyone out there, you know, yes, there's some military things. Yes, it's a little cheesy, but the content that Frank has is not cheesy, because what he's trying to do is draw parallels, right? Draw parallels of your military service to your financial plan. And I think this book does a really, really good job of doing that, because without it, this could be a little bit dry, this stuff, but because of these parallels, it makes it engaging and entertaining. And that, I think, Frankie did a good job on. So when we talk about stop the bleeding and securing the perimeter, what the heck does securing the perimeter mean?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Kevin. When you get a great parallel, a great analogy that that once you draw the connections, it works so well, you almost hardly have to explain the rules because it just makes sense. And that's what I was looking for. Embedded in every service member's training are some of the basic ideas that they need to know to help them with their monies. So why don't we just make those connections? So securing the perimeter, I don't even know how many thousands of people I've asked, but when you're in a hostile territory, how important is security?
Pretty important. Now, you're talking to the guy who may or may not have fallen asleep at JRTC while he was supposed to be awake and securing the perimeter. It was late. I was cold. I'm in the Air Force. Cut me a break.
Okay. We'll cut you a break on that one. But you do understand it's pretty important. In fact, there's nothing more important.
Yeah. I mean, well, everyone else felt the same way.
Too good. The idea of securing the perimeter is building enough reserves to deal with the incoming of life. Like we said, we know it's coming. What we don't understand is that we live, and let me preface by saying, we live in the greatest country in the history of the planet, not just today, but in the entire history. There's more opportunity. There's more freedoms. There's the rule of law. There's personal property rights. Everything that you can need to build a successful life, we have right here. Mm-hmm. But we have to understand that it's also a hostile territory. The Ponzi scheme industry is now a multi-billion dollar industry. And there's two demographic groups that are targeted more often than anybody else. The first one is seniors. You can probably understand why. But the second one is the military. The military is the most targeted, second most targeted demographic for predatory lenders, financial scams, all kinds of things go on. And that ripples into the statistics that we see with people and their finances, the rate of homelessness among veterans and all that kind of stuff. So if we understand that it's a hostile territory because of the bad players that are out there, because of the unforeseen emergencies, because our bodies just deteriorate over time, because the things we own tend to deteriorate over time, then we can understand the same need for security. Saving money isn't a good idea any more than securing the perimeter is in a hostile territory. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely essential. It's mission critical. If breathing is a good idea, then maybe saving money is a good idea. But I mean, it's at that level. And when you understand it at that level, then you see it as your highest priority. I'm writing an article for a Total Prestige magazine right now. They wanted to ask me about this whole subject matter. And I was in this article, I'm trying to explain to them. Shoot, I just went blank. Does that ever happen? I'm trying to explain this concept that you can't attack your debts directly. If you have a mountain load of debt and it's just killing you, if you spend all your time and all your energy thinking the debt is the problem and you have to attack the debt first before you build up your reserves, you'll never get ahead. Because what'll happen is you'll pay some money down on this credit card and that personal loan, maybe even make a little headway in your student loans. And then all of a sudden something happens.
And then you got to
income.
Then you got to, boom, I got to take more debt to handle what just
happened. You charge it right back up and all the balances are gone. And then that leads to an area that's really problematic in people's finances. And that's investment behavior, investor behavior. You give up.
Yeah.
Because you're so frustrated. I tried. I gave it my best. I don't know what happened. Everything blew apart. And then so then you just give up and you resign to getting by. And then you're back in that state where you always were. Until somebody like you or I come along and try and say, wait, there's a better way. Secure the perimeter. Get yourself in a position of strength. Get strong before you go to battle. Stop the bleeding kind of pulled you out of the hospital. Now we go through a period of rehab where we teach you how to build your savings, get in a position of strength so that when the incoming comes, because life still happens, you're strong and prepared. You can handle it. But more importantly, when it's time to go in battle and engage the enemy of your debts, you're in a position of strength. You're coming in with armored tanks and air support instead of limping along on a cast and a full body, you know, a full body cast and a couple of crutches. You're coming in strong, and the effect is inevitable.
Hey guys, Kevin here, and I wanted to interrupt this week's podcast episode with just kind of a public service announcement. I don't know if you guys know this, but we have this thing called the cohort, and we have one for commercial real estate and one for residential real estate. But the cohorts have been a smashing success as we launched them in 2023 and moving into 2024. We literally have like a wait list going right now. But if you're interested in learning how to do real estate investing alongside other like-minded, super focused people in the military community, like in our community, then you're going to want to sign up for the cohort. And the way we have it set up and that we're moving this direction with a residential cohort and a commercial cohort is the residential is going to focus on everything 1 to 4 units, whether that's buy and hold or BRRRR or short-term rentals and Airbnbs or like all of that stuff is in the residential side. And then your commercial real estate one, which is super powerful, is going to be focused on those large commercial 7-figure apartment buildings, mobile home parks, RV parks, things like that, that you thought you could never get involved in. But now with our brand new education on ADPI campus, which you guys know about, and combine that with our cohort and our coaches and everything coming together, it's becoming a very, very, very powerful tool. So if you're interested in getting involved with this, what you need to do is go into ADPI Campus, log into ADPI Campus. And if you don't have it, again, go to www.adpicampus.com, sign up for free. Go in there and check out the events and just make comments. Go in and make a comment and say like, hey, when's the next cohort starting? And we'll get you hooked up. It's that simple. And we'll get you on the wait list and where you need to be. So again, if you guys are interested in taking your real estate game to the next level, seriously consider joining one of ADPI's highly coveted and exclusive cohorts, either for residential or commercial. They're all awesome, and people are getting fantastic results. So hope to see you in one of those cohorts. And until then, we shall get back to the show. Yeah, and if our listeners who have been through, you know, our masterclasses or our academy or an Operation Atom, you've heard me talk about getting your financial house in order before you go and purchase investment properties. And this is exactly what this is about. Everything that Frank is talking about right now, this is kind of the tactical and practical of making that happen, of getting your financial house in order. And if we want to talk, you know, numbers or ratios or percentages, Frank, how much should folks who are in this position of you know, trying to clean the slate, whether they're getting their credit fixed up or they're trying to, you know, they're trying to get their financial house in order, right? How much should they be putting away? How much should they be trying to save? Like, what does that look like?
I'd love to give you a hard target. And a target is useful, like, you know, because you know when you're getting there, you know your progress and you're moving towards it. 6 times your cost of living is the amount that I call a secure perimeter.
Okay.
Not your bills, but your cost of living.
Your monthly cost of living.
Monthly spending.
Got it. So
groceries, eating out, what have you.
So that's why it's important to make sure that you're categorizing, and when you stop the bleeding, that you're examining and looking how much is coming out each and every month, because then you can say, hey, listen, I'm spending, you know, and again, the software that we use tells me down to the nickel how much we spend per month, every 6 months, every 12 months, however we can customize as much as we want. And, you know, if you're spending $5,000 a month, all right, then you should have saved up $30,000.
Yeah. Can I share something else with you that's kind of cool? This is something I had no idea would come up, but after a couple thousand interviews, we're mapping this out with individuals, I started to see a trend. When a person gets engaged and they employ these tactical wealth protocols that I break down, 4 different tactics to build those savings, it only takes about 18 months to get from 0 to a secure perimeter. So in the illustration you just gave, to get from 0 to $30,000 in your savings. And when I'm talking to an E1 or an E2, E3, these young people, 22 years old, first couple paychecks, you know, them to look down 20 years down the road, it's pretty hard. Mm-hmm. They just don't have that kind of long-term vision. But if you talk about a year, year and a half down the road, they can see that. And they can, and then you try and explain how life changes when you have a secure perimeter. Your stress goes down. Your partner says you're better looking. The dog stops peeing in the house. The car runs better. Everything gets better. And we're just getting started. So that's where it gets really exciting, because from this point forward, things just ramp up and the momentum builds and there's no ending where you can go.
Yeah. Some other things that you mentioned in the book, you know, we have that 6x cost of living. You also mentioned, and I touched on it earlier, about paying yourself first. So, you know, it's important that we are allocating funds properly. And I believe you say that paying yourself, you want to pay 80% to yourself and 20% to enjoy yourself, or you're 80%, maybe not. No, I said that wrong. Maybe 80% deployed into like, you know, assets, and then 20% for yourself to go and like enjoy. So you're not a robot. Is that kind of right?
It's a little couple of ideas that are being crossed over or mixed together, but the whole idea of securing the perimeter is definitely paying yourself first, except it's at a higher level of urgency. It's not just paying yourself first because I should. It's understanding this is massively important. It's more important for me to protect my household and my children and my spouse and the things that I really hold dear than to worry about the banks getting surviving, you know, and worrying about the CEOs pocketing another $20 million in their annual salary packages. So it's prioritizing getting you in a position of strength. So the other part that you were talking about is then now how do we build that savings? And one of those things is to have a tactic, a protocol in place for when you get a windfall of money, an unexpected lump sum of cash. Could be a tax refund, could have been a stimulus check, could be a re-enlistment bonus. There's all kinds of opportunities. You know, great grandma passed away and sent an inheritance and you got $5,000. These things happen not all the time, but they happen enough so that if you have a plan for them, they're key opportunities for you. And this is where I say, take 80% of that windfall and put it to work in your plan. So if we're building the perimeter, or if we're eliminating the debt, or if we're building future ops, put it to work in your plan. But take that other 20% and reward yourself and have fun. Literally, go play guilt-free fun. How many vacations before you got your finances together, how many vacations did you take with a tinge of guilt because you knew you really couldn't afford it and you were just doing it out of desperation?
Yeah, I mean, you do it. You do it because it's like, I deserve this. And you know, it's funny, you know, I had some friends, still, you know, they're still my friends, but military as well, the, you know, doctors and such that live with me in the DC area and everything. And, you know, it's common that I hear this a lot where it's like, man, I've been in school for 10 years. I've been a doctor for 5 years. Like, I deserve a Tesla, or I deserve this, or I deserve that. And you might, yeah, but do you also have $500,000 or $1 million in student loans?
Yeah.
And you know, it's hard to like justify those emotions because money is very emotional. But investing is analytical.
Exactly.
You have to pool. If you want to grow, and this is what we talk about when I talk to my students, you know, on the podcast and in the mastermind, if you want to grow, you have to pool the emotions out of your analysis and bring it back to square one and says, is this house, investment, asset, XYZ going to profit?
Yeah.
Is this business going to work? Yes or no? And, you know, if you tie in the emotions of that get tied up with personal finance in there, it gets really, really murky.
Then it's like, oh, this is the neighborhood I always wanted to own a house in. I love this. And then forget about
the whole thing. Yeah, exactly. Forget about it. So I love that, you know, that kind of windfall category that you talked about, Frank, because it's so easy. And another thing is, what about just like coming back from deployment and you got all that tax-free money? And you might have spent 6 months or 9 months overseas and you got all this tax-free money and you've been, you know, you haven't paid for normal expenses, you know, like eating and rent and all of that stuff. And, you know, whatever, you were getting BAH and everything. You have all this money. And the thing that kills me, where do people go? Well, you got to hit up the Dodge dealership to get that post-deployment charger.
Right.
Those things, you know, like, and you see the E3s and their chargers and I'm just like, oh God. Oh,
good looking muscle cars, great looking trucks, that Raptor, those F-150s everywhere out there. Yeah, it's brutal. And then a few months later, those things will be like stones around their neck.
Yeah.
Holding them back, keeping them from getting forward.
Totally. So we talked about the windfall of cash, and then you also say, you know, pay raise. What happens when someone ranks up in the military? What do they do with that pay raise?
So we got four protocols. The first one is how to deal with windfall. And another one is what to do with that surplus. So if you're no longer bleeding, you're living below your means, you've got that profit. Let's not waste it. Let's put 80% of that profit to work too. So you get your finances fixed. You got $500 left over every month. Put $400 into your savings. That other 20% just leave in there as kind of a margin for error. If it builds up, everything's good, then you can move that money later. But leave yourself some buffer zone. So your monthly surplus, your windfalls, then you get a pay raise. The American thing to do with a pay raise is to spend 1.5 times what you just got pay raised up to.
The American thing to do. Yeah, you're right, you're right there.
The tactically proficient thing to do is when you make more, spend more, and save more. So split the difference. If I get a rank change and I'm getting another $400 a month, I'm going to put $200 into my spending plan and $200 I'm going to deploy away. It doesn't even cost you. It doesn't hurt you. You still get to make a raise, but now you get to make a raise and get more efficient. And I'll just jump to that fourth protocol. When you've been paying on these debts and we get them eliminated, which we don't just pay them off, we get them eliminated. When that payment is something that you've just been without all this time, let's deploy that money forward. Kevin, those four protocols, if anybody incorporates really two or three of them, their entire lives will change. The trajectory of their finances will change. Everything changes because you do this. After a while, you start to see, you know, consider all the debt payments you're making. Once we get you to all your debt payments are paid off, it may be $1,500, $2,000 that you've been spending out on vehicle payments and all kinds of credit cards and personal loans that were for something you don't even remember what it was for anymore. But if you have that kind of capital to push forward, to start building your future ops, to securing that first, second, third property, to putting the money into fixing up the property, creating another bedroom, another unit inside that building, all those things just, you know, they just magnify and accelerate your potential. Which is why I say your potential is bigger than you realize.
Yeah. And it's funny that when you do clean that slate and you do get your financial house in order and you do stop the bleeding, you do everything that Frank is saying, everything that you're saying right now, the opportunities open up for you. Hey, exactly. I've been doing well, I've been paying everything and my credit's gone up. And guess what? I can now get a attractive interest rate on the next property that I want to get. And maybe it's a house hack property. It's a 4-unit. I'm going to live in 1 unit. I'm going to Airbnb the other 3 units. And all of that extra cash that you're making goes down to either paying down more debt or it goes into your spend plan or goes into your But the more assets you get, the more things that you can acquire that are putting money in your pocket instead of taking money out of your pocket every month, the more opportunity is going to open up for you and the faster you will grow. I think there's a common misconception out there, specifically with real estate, when you go and put a 30-year note on something. Some people think that they're like, oh, well, yeah, I have a 30-year mortgage and I need to pay that down, that entire 30 years down before I can go and get another house. That you could do it that way if you plan on living until you're 400 years old like Yoda. But
right.
If you're not, then you might have a problem, you know, actually growing. So now I love those four steps. And, you know, I think everything that we talked about with the tactical wealth protocols, I think we touched on them all, right? Stop the bleeding, secure the perimeter. We talked about engage the enemy and then really, actually, I'd love you to touch on more engaging the enemy and eliminating toxic debt.
Okay. So the tactical wealth protocols are what we employ to secure the perimeter, to build up your savings. And you talked about other things too. When you go to an employment, something like that, I say it's 1.5 years. Some people can get this done in like 6 months. With just a little bit of focus and a little bit of personal engagement, everything changes. And so whatever it takes. But you build this perimeter, you've gotten used to deploying money away, and you have these four protocols in place. Now, if you want to eliminate the debts here, line them up from smallest to largest, put student loans in last place, and like you just started alluding to, remove the mortgage off the list. It's not even a debt I want you to worry about. A mortgage is a whole different animal. It's a non-recourse loan. It creates wealth. It doesn't need to be paid off prematurely. And it doesn't, you know, you don't need to spend your money there. Spend your money instead on eliminating all these other debts. Smallest to largest gives you the greatest amount of momentum. and then apply those same tactical wealth protocols that built the savings now to that smallest debt. So if that smallest debt and you went down to your minimum payment so that you could build up your savings, which is another tactic I tell people to do, they say it's never right to make a minimum payment. I say it is right when it's done strategically. You don't do it for long, but watch how, what happens. So you take these TWPs, that $400 from your monthly surplus, and you add it to that $10 minimum payment, and that card balance might be $800, and 2 months it's gone. $410 goes in there towards the next debt. And if it's $2,000, you pay that off in, you know, 4 or 5 months. And you just keep rolling through there. Now that payment had $35 as a minimum payment. So now you have $445 going to the next debt. Plus then you get that tax refund or that windfall or that promotion. And so now it's not $445, it's $645. And you take that, and it doesn't really matter what the debt is, what the interest rate is, you're going to start knocking the thing out before the banks even know what happened. You're no longer their slave. So you start running through this, and then when all that's done, peace in the territory, you're in a position of strength. You've just acquired more property, more land than you've ever had. Now it's time to start building your empire. And that's where you start picking up these properties like you do, or you invest in the market, or however you choose to invest. You get tactical on that side too. But the money that you have, what you're doing is you're living well below your means. You're deploying resources away continually. That's the profile of a great investor. I don't care where you invest. You've got the behavior in place. You talk about money and emotion. There's a whole big field of study about behavioral finance. That's what they call it. It's helping understanding how people and their emotions deal with money. If you're in this kind of a place, your emotions have already been in check. We have dealt with the real enemy. The enemy isn't to people's finances, isn't their debts. The enemy is the debtor. It's their bad behavior. But if we've learned to train you to live below your means, deploy resources away, we're dealing with the real enemy anyway. We're eliminating the symptom, which is the debt, but we're also rehabilitating the investor themselves. We're kind of fixing your financial metabolism.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you're able.
I think there's also, you know, people tend to equate living below your means with not having fun.
Right.
And
I think
that's ridiculous. Because I'll tell you what, So this weekend, I'm in the midst of setting up another Airbnb, which nets me about $2,000 a month in passive income. But I also played disc golf, and it cost me $0. And I went out with all my friends, and we had an incredible time.
Yeah.
And it's not like you don't have to like go to the bar and drop $300 at the DC, but like you don't have to do that to have fun. And I think it's like how you think about life, and part of it, you know, who you hang out with and all of that stuff obviously influences your decision making, and you know, and that's up to you. But when we talk about finances and we talk about these things, living below your means, I think people kind of just get innately bummed out. They're like, oh, I can never have fun again. No.
Yeah. You can learn how to have more fun.
Exactly. You smarten up pretty much, get yourself on the straight and narrow, and then build something so you can have more fun than you ever dreamed of. And that I think is crucial.
So I'm briefing this recruiting command out here in Queen Creek, Arizona. And I put this question to them. I said, how many of you guys have an interest in starting your own business? And half the hands in the room went up. I said, okay, well, let me ask you this. How many of you guys love the idea of living below your means?
Zero.
Zero hands go up, and they're like, oh, no way.
I have to sacrifice to build something?
I said, well, let's jump over here. Let's think about this business again. How many of you love the idea of building a great business with a great product or service, and you're really serving the community, your customers, and every month you have just enough to barely pay the bills? Who wants that? No hands go up. And I said, do you see the connection? You don't want this in your business. Why would you want it in your life? If making a profit is the ideal in business, let's learn how to make a profit in our personal lives, because that profit can bleed over here and launch the businesses, and it'll teach you how to be good at business.
Yeah.
I had this other fellow who was literally about to inherit multi-millions of land and businesses from his great-grandmother, because he was the only heir left, and he was like, I am scared. I don't know what to do. And I said, well, isn't her advisor talking? Not really. I said, this is the thing you got to do. in order to be prepared to inherit or deal with more, you got to learn how to make the most out of what you have. And then we went through and went and put him through the whole plan and helped him see how he could do that. So you engage in this property, you engage in this plan for yourself. When more comes, you just have to widen the perspective and you'll see it. And you'll be able to navigate further forward.
Yeah, that's great. Frank, this has been absolutely incredible. I can't even begin to think about all the stuff that we've talked about and how many, you know, how many gold nuggets that you've dropped on the folks listening to this podcast right now. We are running short on time, and I do want to take you to the bonus round. So if you don't mind, let's jump right into that. These are the same four questions we ask every single guest, all 225 guests before you. Question number one, Frank, what book or software has really helped you crush it lately?
Well, I hate to sound this because it sounds a little bit like a broken record, but one of my favorite authors in the finance space is Nick Murray, and he's written a book called Behavioral Investment Counseling. In my work as a financial planner, I see myself more as an investment counselor than anything else.
Yeah. And honestly, I've never heard of that one. I'm going to have to pick that one up. I was really thinking, I was like, you're going to say Rich Dad Poor Dad. He's going to say it.
I'm sorry. Was I supposed to say it?
That was the correct answer, Frank. You have failed. No, I'm just kidding.
Out.
Oh, wait. There we go.
There we go.
Okay. Let's get serious. Question number two, Frank, who's your biggest hero and why?
Okay, I'm going to change my answer from my other answer. I was just listening to a Joe Rogan podcast. It was two hours, 45 minutes, interviewing the singer, songwriter, artist, Jewel.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Jewel.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, when you catch her story and what she came through, what she went through, it's heroic. It's heroic. And I just completely love that. And so most recently, I just enjoyed that immensely.
There you go.
Couldn't believe I listened to 2 hours and 45 minutes, but it was engaging.
Joe Rogan is a way better podcaster than me. For everyone listening,
I don't know.
Joe Rogan is better than me. I just want you to know that.
I'm not sure I agree with that, Kevin. You got it down.
Boy, wow. I'm better than the Wall Street Journal and Joe Rogan. What a day. Question number three, Frank. What do you like to do for fun?
There's so many things I like to do. I love to travel. I love to entertain. I love to hit the mountains. I love to hit the ocean. I love to cook. And this past Thanksgiving, it was kind of sad. My wife got COVID the 3 days before Thanksgiving came. And so the 20 people that we were going to be hosting and preparing for, they had to just come and pick up their turkey. But, you know,
I hope she's doing okay.
She had no symptoms. It was a piece of cake. Easy peasy. Yeah.
That's good. All right. This one, arguably the most important question, the last question that we ask every single guest. If you had, you know, and you've dropped a ton of gems already, I'm going to ask you for some more, maybe to summarize what you've said already. If you had three nuggets for someone who's in the position who is, you know, maybe one of those folks that you've counseled, spent over 4,000 hours doing, comes into your office and is just like, what the heck do I do? A service member who has no clue about their finances or how to get it fixed, how to get their financial house in order. If you had three nuggets off the top to help someone who's listening to this podcast right now, who might be in a similar position, what would they be?
So number one, that first rule of money, learn the beauty, learn the wisdom behind the idea of living well, comma, below your means. It changes everything. Number two, if you want to move into real estate or any other kind of venture like this, treat it like it's a business. So again, remove the emotion. We're launching, you're building a business. So treat it like it's a business and get very, you know, build a business plan and be very accountable with yourself or with an accountability partner to keep you on track. And then number three, don't look for any one single silver bullet to bail you out. It's not real estate or stocks. It's both and. It's never either or. And it's not one thing that's going to bail you out. The success with money boils down to you. It doesn't boil down to all the other things outside of you. It boils down to you, what you decide you really want, and how you manage the resources and synchronize the resources you have towards reaching those goals.
Yeah, I love that. That's That's an incredible summary of what we talked about in this podcast. So if you've been asleep for the past 46 minutes and you heard that last minute, then you're pretty good. but I, Frank, thank you so much for coming on the show. I know your book is coming out. Let's talk about that. When is the book coming out and where can our listeners grab a copy?
You can pre-order a copy now on any Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any of the sites out there. It's Financial Dominance, Military and Veteran Edition, Your Battle Plan for a Richer Life. Stick that in front of the camera.
There you go.
But it releases on January 4th. So we're currently in the midst of doing these podcast tours and interviews and whatnot to try and build the word, get the word out and build some visibility.
That's excellent. So if you're interested in getting that book, all you got to do is scroll down to the show notes of this episode, click the link, and it'll go right to there.
And can I say one more thing from the closing out? If you want to get in touch with me, you want to get on a newsletter so you can get tips and pointers and ideas and updates on when the book is coming out or extra perks, financialdominancebook.com. is the website, financialdominancebook.com, and just scroll to the bottom, sign up for the newsletter, and we'll stay in touch and make sure we won't harass you, but it's all about getting this book out. I look at this book not just as a book to publish, but more as a mission. There's a little over 21 million service members and veterans currently. I'd like to see if we can just help a few of them. Yeah. And by a few, like a percent or two.
Yeah, like all 20 million.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like 100%.
Well, and it's them and it's the families and it's their kids. It's all of those. So it's really a much bigger audience that we have to get to work.
Of course. Yeah. And so getting in touch with Frank, you got financialdominancebook.com. You got the link here. Frank, do you have a personal website or anything that if our listeners want to get directly in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
So my personal email, you could reach me at frank@financialdominancebook.com.
Perfect. That is easy enough. And guys and girls listening to this podcast, just scroll down in the show notes. There's going to be links there to the email, to the website, and to a link to pre-order Frank's book. Frank, thank you so much for coming on the show. Tons of nuggets that have been dropped here. I learned a lot, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners learned a lot too. So thank you again for taking the time.
Thank you, Kevin. I love the work you guys are doing, and I appreciate the chance to spend some time with you.
All right. Until next time, Frank, I will see you later.
Yes, sir.
Another amazing episode in the books. Thanks so much to our special guest, and thank you for listening. Don't forget to tap the subscribe button now to make sure you don't miss an episode. Or head over to our website at www.activedutypassiveincome.com to grab all of our free resources and discover how you can get started on your financial freedom journey today.